Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Lori Walsh. Tonight, you can tune in to SDPB-TV for a new Frontline documentary. It's called Policing the Police, and it's a rare look inside one of America's troubled police departments. After a three-year investigation, the U.S. Department of Justice found systemic civil rights abuses by the Newark, New Jersey police. Approximately 75% of stops by officers had no legal justification. They also found cases where police used excessive force against residents, stole their belongings, and arrested people for criticizing or questioning their actions. The DOJ ordered Newark to reform. Frontline gained up-close access to the Newark PD. Joining us now for insight is the film's producer, director, and writer, James Jacoby. James Jacoby, welcome to Dakota Midday.
Thanks so much, Lori.
Let's start with this notion of access, because you really do have what might be unprecedented access to riding along with the gang unit, for example, of the Newark PD. Give us an idea of how you set that up and how long you really followed them.
Well, it took a very long time to set that up. We had basically looked to get into a number of different police departments around the country, and obviously police departments are already quite defensive, but have been particularly defensive in the wake of, the outrage over Ferguson and Baltimore and some other of the major incidents over the past few years. So it took a long time for Newark to let us in. Months, and then we did shoot with them over the course of months. We were out with a whole host of officers. The film primarily focuses on the gang unit there, which is really contends with a lot of the violence in the city, which is gang-driven. But it was we shot over the course of most of the fall and some of the winter as well.
Tell me about the city itself and the crime rate there.
Sure. So Newark is for East Coast standards, is a small city. It's about 277,000 people, and about a third of the population lives under the poverty line, which is quite enormous, obviously. And the it's a diverse city. It's a predominantly minority city, and interestingly, the police force there, the Newark PD, is also predominantly minority cops. So violence is quite an issue there. They have a high violent crime rate, a large murder rate per capita, in terms of cities of its size. Last year alone there were about 105 homicides in Newark. So, gun violence is particularly a problem there. And that's why there was such a focus on the Newark gang unit, because they're out there every night, or most nights of the week, trying to get guns off the streets.
Tell me what you heard first about from the officers themselves. What were they telling you about what they're up against on the street?
Sure. Well, one thing that they're up against is the fact that, because Newark is a poorer city, the officers and the department as a whole is under-resourced, and it's overstretched, and they are operating with antiquated machinery. They're operating with half the force that they used to have before budget cuts really dug into the forces in the past decade or so. So when you talk to officers and spend time with them, they really feel as though they're outnumbered to some degree, and that all they can really do at best is to keep a lid on things, as opposed to do some really proactive policing, community policing, and other things. And that was surprising, because it's not really a big part of the national debate about policing to talk about the funding for police forces, where that funding's going, and some of the struggles that cops are having in cities like Newark, where budget cuts have really taken a toll.
Now, when you talk about antiquated equipment, it reminds me of the dispatch center that you took cameras into, where a large portion of their computers were down, but nobody could really explain whether they were not working or whether they were just powered down. And then the officers are using these sort of like cards, like pieces of paper, to collect calls, and then a runner takes the card to another desk, and that just seems like it's from the 70s. They're not even computerized fully in their dispatch center. Did I see that correctly?
Well, they are computerized. The problem was that the day that we went and visited, we were riding along with the mayor of Newark that day, And he was actually touring around different precincts looking into what problems they were contending with. And that day, their computer system was down. They're in the midst of trying to upgrade it, but they're having a lot of difficulty with that. But it's, you know, in cities like Newark, a very big issue is the response time of the police. When you call 911, in a lot of parts of this country, you figure, you know, a cop will be dispatched immediately. In Newark, because of the funding issues, you can wait hours for cops to come. Mm-hmm. And some people think that that's a funding issue. It also is a communications issue in Newark's case, in that their communication center has been flawed for a long time. They've been struggling to upgrade it, and we happened to be there on a day when they were struggling more than usual and actually doing, you know, the people would field the calls, and unfortunately their computers weren't communicating with the dispatcher's computers, so they were doing it manually. There was a, you know, high priority calls went on one color card and other calls went on another color card, and it really was quite a sad scene that day.
How long do you think that they would have had to go with that system? How long did the system stay down where they're using cards and running them back and forth?
I mean, I think that they struggled with it. I know certainly that day and the days around it, they were struggling with the system. But, you know, there's been a lot of local press about the communication system in Newark, where some dispatchers were found sleeping on the job. They've struggled with that, which is, you know, a very basic service for most of us. But in Newark, it's been quite a struggle.
Tell me about the field inquiries. Now, what exactly is a field inquiry?
A field inquiry is what the Newark Police Department calls a pedestrian stop. So, and then which may lead to a frisk of that person. And so, really, what it is stopping and frisking, which is a policy that a number of urban police departments use, of where an officer needs a reasonable suspicion to stop someone on the street. It needs to be an individualized suspicion of that person that he or she is either engaged in or going to engage in some sort of criminal wrongdoing. And an officer needs to clearly articulate what that is, what that suspicion is, and then he or she, the officer, can stop that person. And then if they find something that leads them to be more suspicious or feel as though they're in danger in some way, they can frisk them. But this entire process is called a field inquiry, and they're supposed to be documented. And if, in fact, that officer has found something on that person, then they need to articulate the suspicion for the stop and then what they gleaned in the course of it.
So tell me what the justification is for it from the officers, because it seemed like there were a lot of what they were calling field inquiries that were just plain unconstitutional.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the big struggle in Newark and the DOJ three-year investigation found that officers were, 75% of documented stops did not contain a reasonable suspicion or a legal justification for that stop, which is just enormous. And mm-hmm. So we saw that firsthand where, you can't just stop someone on a hunch. You can't just stop someone for sort of a generalized suspicion. The DOJ found that Newark officers were saying they were stopping people simply because that person was in a high-crime neighborhood. Well, you know, a big chunk of Newark is a high-crime neighborhood, and it's not an individualized suspicion. People were being stopped for simply milling or loitering. Milling about was used a lot. That's not a sufficient justification for a stop. So we saw quite a bit of that, and that's what the Justice Department is aiming to reform in Newark, and they have a long road ahead with it.
What did you hear from community members about their relationship with the police force?
Well, interestingly, the community, doesn't speak with one voice, I think a lot of people kind of take for granted. There are a lot of people in Newark, of course, that are fed up with the violent crime in their neighborhoods and are asking for police to take a very aggressive approach. And that's something that's not often discussed, which is that community members, put quite a bit of pressure on cops. And we heard about it from the cops, we heard about it from elected officials, and we heard it from community members themselves, that they expect a certain level of aggressiveness on the cops' part, and that some of the cops explain the fact that they go over the line sometimes because they feel pressure from the community to do so. Now, other community members, of course, disagree with that, and they feel as though that's a false choice, that there can be, you know, constitutional policing, but also effective policing that brings down the crime numbers, and that, you know, over the course of the years that the DOJ investigated the Newark PD, crime rates weren't much better than they would be when they were, you know, if they were making stops constitutionally. So it's really a mixed bag. We heard a whole kind of cross-section of community thoughts on this.
After you saw this and heard the different voices, saw what you saw on the street, heard the different voices, that question comes up at least two times, maybe three or four, in the documentary of is it possible to work? You know, do people believe it's possible to work in this kind of high crime area and not violate people's constitutional rights? And I think everyone says yes, it should be. Did you find that you thought that it was possible and reform can happen?
I do think reform can happen. In answer to the question of can you do this type of policing in cities like Newark and not violate people's rights, I think that ideally yes, but often, and one of the most interesting parts of doing this this report was that, you know, the situations that cops are in on the ground are extremely complex. They are, you know, fraught with suspicions and fears and a whole host of things that, you know, you can be an idealist about these things, but it's very hard to exercise good discretion as a cop. And if anything, I think police officers, one, need to be trained. We need to be attracting better people into the profession that understand people's rights. And I think that, you know, I certainly think there's a good chance of reform, but the daily complexities and realities of policing are far more complicated than I knew going into this, and certainly got an appreciation for over the course of it.
As I watched this as a citizen of South Dakota, I thought nothing in this documentary really looks familiar to anything I've seen from our police force locally. Do you think there are lessons for other law enforcement agencies, even if they're not living in a Newark-type community, for how to police and how to build relationships within a community?
Yeah, I think that, you know, as different as Newark may seem from anything you've seen or anything that exists in South Dakota, I think that one thing about policing generally in this country is that there's a growing movement toward professionalization. We don't actually know the number, the true number of how many police agencies there are in this country. It's upwards of 17, 18,000, each of which is governed by different sets of rules and local politics. And one thing I think that could come of this, and for that could be instructive, is for there to be more national standards for training, more national standards for the education level of cops coming onto the force. And so I think everyone, no matter what community you're in, you can there's serious improvement that can be made. And then also I just think, you know, training. It always seems to come down to training. And the better trained the cops are, the better the community relations will be. There's just, I think there's ample evidence of that. So that's certainly the argument the DOJ is trying to make in the more troubled places around the country. But I think the police departments that haven't been fraught with so many issues still have a lot to learn.
James Jacoby, it is a fascinating Frontline documentary. Thank you so much for joining us today with a little insight.
Thank you.
Frontline's Policing the Police airs tonight at SDPB TV, 9 Central, 8 Mountain. That is your Dakota Midday for today.